April 4th, 2009, it's a Walk from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Walk from Pedro show. April 4th. Saturday. Hi, Brother Matt.
Beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Usually Sunday. Well, we've been doing different
days. Yeah, we're flexible. Keep them guessing.
The nighttime. But first show of April. I think next week be the only one I could do before a tour.
Hit the road.
Yeah. 2 weeks from yesterday. Maybe get another one. I don't know. We started with John Coltrane and Miles Davis doing Sweet Sue, Just You. And then something new from now called Ethnic Snack, and which is convenient because we have the bass player from now here, Angela. She's on a journey from England to see the U.S. How are you? Welcome aboard.
All right.
So first trip to the U.S., you said, eh?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you've been having action-packed time.
Yes.
How long you been?
Just over 2 weeks.
2 weeks. How much left?
2 days.
Oh, so you're at
the end. 1.5 years.
How many states in that time?
Nevada, Arizona, Utah, California.
Oh, four. West stuff. Usually they come because it's a little closer to the heat. Fucking loud, brother. Shut that hat.
Everybody's cruising out this time.
I first wanted to go to New Mexico, but then somebody said, no, have a look at Arizona. So
yeah, well, you know what? For Euro people, well, I guess people in England think of Europe a little island off the coast of England. But Europe and England, people, except for maybe Spain and some Greece and southern Italy, it's much different territory. So to come west and see desert,
cacti,
yeah.
Canyons.
Yeah, you had some trippy flavors to taste. You set up in Overa Street, Mexican sushi,
and I was a tiger striped ravioli with butternut squash filling.
Well, that's the old Pueblo. That's where LA started, Overa Street. You know, Spain was here in the 1500s, but really old. I mean, it stayed very small until the water came. Did you see the dam?
Yes.
Oh, the dam, yeah. When they did that dam, they could bring water to Cali and turn it into a farm state. It's actually a farm state.
Mm.
Did you drive to San Francisco?
No, unfortunately not.
Okay, that 400 miles between here and there is huge farms and stuff. People think of Hollywood, you know. But actually Cali, and that allowed the population to come up because it was small for hundreds of years.
Mm.
But where you were was the cradle.
Yeah.
So, authentic, the chow. Although that's a weird hybrid with the
fusion.
What?
Little fusion?
Frog? Yeah. Now that little Tokyo is kind of like a big money thing from companies over there. It's not the real community. The community here is old. They used to be the Gardner people. In fact, their town was Gardena. We had a group of them here around the turn of the century. These ladies put Vaseline in their eyes and dive and cultivate, you know, no masks, you know, and no air tanks, and cultivate abalone. Royal Palms, Roman Sepulveda built them a little sheds to live down there. And then they were herding sheep on the hill.
Ishibashi farm.
So it's not, I know people come, well, I know. At least downtown's a little safer now and a little more together. But people, it's hard about SoCal because, you know, Centrum, you know? We're all like 150 towns. You fly over, it looks like one big thing, but we're all, maybe London's like that, balkanized into neighborhoods, but this really is like that.
It felt like islands. You had all this crazy traffic, the freeways, and in between are these islands.
Yeah, right. Really no space between them. It's sometimes hard. Oh, now I'm in Hermosa Beach. Now it's Manhattan Beach. Now it's Torrent. No lines of demarcation are real easy. So for an outsider, it's like, but the people only kind of know their towns. You talk to a lot of people here, they don't know the other places. Yeah, it's kind of strange. The old punk scene was up in Hollywood, and I met all these people from around. I'd heard of the names of some of the towns, but I didn't know of them. I didn't know Pedro. I spray painted Pedro on my base, and they thought my name was Pedro. Some people saw the name on freeway signs, or Marine Land was here. There was like an aquarium thing, so they went there as a kid, or Ports of Call. We got this thing by the water.
I knew Redondo Beach from a Patti Smith song.
Yeah,
I had to drive through it to see what it's like.
She played at the Sweet Walk. It's like a reggae type of tune.
Yeah.
It's on the west side. See, Pedro's weird. We're the only water town here in SoCal that faces east because of this peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't have sunsets. My pictures are sunrises. But all those west side towns, Redondo, Hermosa, Manhattan, Venice, Santa Monica, El Segundo, Torrance, much different than Pedro, but for those, like when I'm just meeting those people in Hollywood, they thought we were all one town, you know? And here we're all part of the same
one Long Beach.
Or Long Beach, yeah. That's the other side of the harbor. We share that with the harbor, east side, Long Beach, west side, Pedro, and in the middle, on the north side, is Wilmington, which is interesting.
Backwaters.
Yeah. Actually, that was the first harbor town. You know, for this area. This was all swamps. It's an interesting history. But it's kind of recent. I mean, Juan Cabrillo came here, you know, 400 years ago, but it stayed little and tiny.
It's got a cool documentary, The Last Village of Terminal Island, which is a story of the...
There was a community there, a Japanese community.
Yeah, it was an awesome story.
I went to this museum.
More came in it. They put everybody in Arizona.
Camps, yeah. Yeah. I went to the museum and they showed the history of the camps, but also about the Japanese in Hawaii.
There they didn't.
Yeah, but I mean, just the...
Because it was like more now. But here, and so that changed a lot of stuff. It was...
As you remember, there was one other thing that I nearly got to see, but it got cancelled, the visit to the Nevada test site. And I didn't know that before they lived, you know, they had some Native Americans there to move from the test site.
That was all their land. And then they got put on reservations out in that stuff. The Navajo, when you first go from New Mexico and Arizona, that's Navajo reservation.
Oh, I went on there briefly.
Yeah, I-40. I-40, Interstate 40, is pretty much follows the old Route 66. That was the old way how you got west. In fact, it was a collection of roads, and the last part of it's Sunset Boulevard. Yeah. You've seen the sign route.
Yeah.
Chuck Berry song.
Yes, Chuck Berry song. Got by the towns that were on there, you know, made their living off it. And when the interstate came,
they
bypassed those towns and just, they died on the vine. So, yeah, what gave you the idea to do this? Have you always wanted? How old are you?
31.
Oh, so still young.
So you had a presentation to do in Las Vegas, you said?
Yes, yeah.
Well, that's why. So you coordinated.
Yeah, but I thought it would be a waste to just fly over to give a presentation and then fly back. So I thought, you know, I just blew all my money on this trip.
Yeah, well, that's why I do with Torin. I try to see as much.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I never really had vacation.
That's curious.
Dublin for Bloomsday on the 100th anniversary. Yes, first time I went to a town without playing it.
I like to come to somewhere with a purpose, but I'm also curious how other people live in different places.
Yeah, we got it pretty good here in Pedro because of our weather. I don't know if you notice, people are people. You think we have more weirdos than over there?
Than in Europe or than in Santa Monica? Or Nevada? Or Yuma? Tucson?
US people in general.
I haven't noticed anything, but I haven't seen that much of Pedro. I was in there. I just ate some pancakes.
Well, US
somewhere.
People versus Europe.
I don't know if I can...
I toured for 30 years, and I've noticed... There's good people and lame people and weird people. And
I think everywhere. I bumped into...
I don't think one place is better than another.
No.
What I think is really different is geography and weather.
Yeah.
Humans divide up in their little trips. But everybody's convinced there are lamer parts and greater parts, and so you always get asked that. And then the same parts can change when you go back.
But I think
it stays the same.
I think also when you travel, you bump probably into more extreme people.
Yeah, but I go on the street. Yeah, I just act like when he's not in a band. Yeah, I only do that when it's time for gig. So during the daytime, I ramble. No one knows I'm in a band. Sometimes I get recognized, but mostly I don't. So just.
But I mean, in hostels or when you stay at other people's places, there are a lot of people there who, you know, searching for something, or then you have
hostels,
all these anecdotes.
Yeah, I've done a few, but not much.
Yeah, nomadic bunch.
Yeah, but I think it's a great thing. It's usually young people, and it's a good place in their life to find out firsthand about other places instead of getting all the information from television and
Wikipedia.
Even worse, Fox News or something. Mr. Murdoch and this guy over there. And they get all these kind of weird impressions without checking it out firsthand. That's why I was really into meeting these couch surfing people. And them going out and seeing for themselves.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. That's why I put up my tour diaries. It was my basic impetus to do that, was just to make people curious. When we started touring, we thought it was the greatest. I mean, we loved playing other people's towns, but then getting to see things, too. It was a great side. You would read about these rock and rollers hating tour and what a drudgery. And all this. We were like, man, these guys are fucking nuts.
You first started doing the diaries.
I actually did one the first time I went to Europe and England. Played the 100 Club, where the Sex Pistols first played. It was Minutemen and Blood. But man, that was retarded. My writing was so untogether, it was embarrassing. So I started again in the late 90s. I should have done it the whole time. I don't know what the fuck was wrong with me. But it was basically, like, wow, this idiot can do it. Why don't I go? And now, yeah, you don't have to be in a band and stuff. I mean, we were from working people, so we didn't get to really travel. Although in the Navy, my pop would get the orders, we just have to move. So I'm traveling that way. I was from Virginia at first. But this was closer to Vietnam. So I ended here. I'm going to get to see Virginia.
Oh, yeah?
Richmond. Yeah.
On this tour? Cool.
Yeah. I get a little. I remember when I was young, when I go through there. Crab apples. And cardinals. Honeysuckles. But, I don't know. I like it here. I like to visit. I like to visit everywhere. But the bungee cord snaps me back to Pedro.
Yeah, always good being back home.
Yeah. something about it.
Yeah, I'm on vacation this week, and I'm just going to hang around here. It's cool.
You
don't have to go to this place.
Up there, man. I
already got the island life going here on the point.
That's good. Well, let's play some music.
Thank you. The drummer beats the drum. The dancer dances ancient steps. The two are joined by an invisible thread. The drummer beats the drum. The dancer dances ancient steps. The two are joined by an invisible thread. The drummer beats the drum. The dancer dances ancient steps. The two are joined by an invisible thread.
Walk from Pedro Show. That was something from New Migu record called The Drummer and the Dancer. I was asked to write some spiel for it, you know. What do you think? But I'm on three of the songs. I thought it was weird, but I did it anyway. I'm on one song. Did I talk about this before? Where Miss Shimmy asked me to cover one of their songs and they don't play on it.
Oh, right, right.
It's just me
yeah.
and Petra.
Yeah.
Money Mark. But it's on their album and they don't play on it. It's their song. Yeah, it is. I remember there was a Monitor record. It's where at first I heard Meat Puppets on a record. They put Meat Puppets song, them play it. They're not on it. It's just all Meat Puppets, a Meat Puppets song, but it's on a Monitor album. Oh. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you be on a record? Then I actually saw them first at the Press Club. God, they were a wild band. You ever hear of them? They're from Arizona, Phoenix, from the old days. But they got back together.
Yeah, they're happening.
Guy Chris out of jail. And he's got a bullet in his ass. Yeah, he got in a fight with a security guard at a post office, and the guy shot him. Yeah. But he's very inspired and playing with his brother again, Kurt. They got Bostromain on the drums. Mm-hmm. Did you go to that gig at Alex's?
No, I wanted to go ahead and make it.
Yeah. I wasn't here either. They played maybe a month ago?
Yeah, a month
and a half ago. And then before that, we heard Bay Bay with Dance and Dream and started with Noriko Tadano with Staircase to the Moon. Now, I did an interview with the now boss, Jeff, and over the phone.
Yes.
And he told me a little something about the band. He started it. I guess his brother played. And he wanted to make a band, maybe in the early 90s. But it's had kind of a revolving cast of characters. But like, you're one of the constant people, right?
Yes, since 2004.
I think he started in the late 90s?
Yes, 1998.
90s? Maybe he started playing in the early 90s and then he started in the late 90s. I think he was a drummer or something. Singer? No, maybe he was a singer. I don't know. He started the band because he didn't want to have to deal with compromise or some stuff. He was in a situation where he had to compromise. Didn't want to do that anymore. So these are the songs. But then it became this kind of collective, right? And different people coming in and out and...
We're trying to maintain a band, but it's sometimes it's difficult to... People leave for different reasons.
Yeah. Usually, I just start another band. I call it something else. But, you know, it's cool. Everybody's got different ways. I've had to have people substitute. Right, Second Man missing. Sometimes it's not available for a tour and stuff. But usually when band members change, it just has different spirit. And the different people in the band must give a different sound, different trip, right?
Yeah, but I think we like to stay mutable. There's a lot of songs we play that we played like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But we like it when they change.
They change because they're different people.
Yes.
You don't ask the people to adopt the role of the person they replaced or something
like
that. No. Yeah. You know, because that happens. The band has a sound, so you have to accommodate the sound. But then other situations, well, the band has new people, so the sound changes. So this is what I got from talking with him.
Yes.
Kind of the idea of it. How did you find out about it? How did you join?
That's quite complicated. A friend of my ex-girlfriend's was the housemaid of the drummer, and she told so it was quite a bit of a long, complicated thing. And you were looking for someone who could operate analog synth. And I did learn on the old synth, you know, the Acro synthy with the metal plugs.
Yeah.
And then, but I sort of gravitated more and more towards the bass. So, because everybody in a band
came in as a synth player because a friend knew a friend.
They had lots of old synths. Yeah.
Of a band through other degrees of.
Yes.
And so you come in as a synth player, but then you move to the bass.
Well, everybody in the band plays several instruments, and whatever part you write in the song, then you play that part no matter what instrument. So this one song I played a kazoo, and one song I played. But most of the bass playing I usually do.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
But it just
was there a bass player already?
There was when I joined, but he left, and I just.
So you filled the void.
At first, we wanted to have two basses, and then he left, and I stayed.
How long have I done that?
Long, well,
yeah. 87. So what is that?
22.
22 years. Yeah, I've had a band with just two basses for 22 years.
I like bass. 23
years. It was 86. We just did a Black Moth Super Rainbow song with Flea, so it was Trace. Basically, me and Flea just laid down the rhythm. I played that lick over and over, and he played like kind of drum sounds. Then Kay overdubbed like 6-7 basses. Flea called it Kiristra. Like
So when's that going to be all together?
Well, we're recording it Wednesday, so gotta make. He's the guy, is Tom, that. He's making a tribute record to himself. I know that sounds weird. But he's asking people to cover his songs. And I said, we'll do that one. And, a lot of basses. We had a jam Monday. Flea was at that. And Devin Hoff, Nels Klein's. Yeah, we should play something from Nels. But Nels was there, and there was three basses. And Watson, it was something for Watson sitting in Chinatown at the Mountain Bar. And Money Mark played analog, so I was recording with him yesterday. Those pumpkin heads with Raymond.
Cool.
Doing singing.
So you got a couple more sessions of that?
Yeah, now we got 13 tunes. Maybe one more before I leave. And then, basically finish. This weird thing coming with the bass. The bass, yeah, I'm kind of biased towards it. But writing songs on bass is interesting because it leaves a lot open for the other people in the band. Instead of them following a piano or a guitar part, which is usually the case. Bass is kind of like background. Well, I guess a real strong bass line would be kind of a ledge. Like, follow me. But. It's kind of loose for people. They can find space, a lot of space, because you're down there. Fundamental, and you're kind of like a drum. I guess kick drum's the closest thing to us. So, what about before now? How'd you get into music?
When I was little, I was in kindergarten, and my parents said that I refused to sing the other children's songs, and I would make up my own. So they recorded me singing these, you know, making my lyrics and songs.
So you started as a singer.
Then my dad, I think he won a little children's keyboard, and I started playing on that. And then I started playing. First, I started playing recorder, then violin, and then I was too impatient as a child, and then moved to organ. And my organ teacher got fired, and I didn't get almost a new one, and then piano. And then the piano teacher noticed.
This is all grade school?
No, it was.
When you're young or a teenager?
No, we didn't have music education at school, but there was a government scheme you could put your kid on, and then you got sent to music school.
Yeah.
Yes, otherwise.
I'm talking about the age.
Yeah.
Because some people come later. Joe Baez taught himself guitar in 27.
I used
some
to
people
make.
Come later. Some people really young. We had a cat. What's his name? Steve Droz. He was playing drums in his pop's band when he was 6.
And when I was at school, I used to have sweet.
I would gigs at 6. I can't even remember.
Like gigs? That's
doing.
Crazy. No, I just, when I was at school, there's always 3 days at least in a week I would just be at music school. Cause it was,
oh, wow.
It was like
but it wasn't part of school.
No, no.
Yeah,
No, and at school I also then played in a Latin jazz band, and then I played my own rock band and stuff.
That was in Germany?
That was in Germany before I moved over here.
Ah!
I was really obsessed with music.
You're from Germany, eventually.
But, yeah, I grew up in Germany and...
What town?
I'm sort of from near Hamburg, Lüneburg, yeah.
Hamburg I like playing a lot. I played Germany when I first went over and played overseas.
Should feel a bit familiar as also
in the old days, before Susanen, you know, that's where all the money was. So you'd have to play most of your gigs in Germany.
Really?
Yeah, they had big money.
No.
Well, I know, they brought in the East and things changed, of course. But, so I played a lot of German gigs early on. Sometimes half your tour would be German gigs.
Wow.
Early 80s. So I've always liked playing there. Last time I played with Tom and Ravel was German gigs, a lot of German gigs. Maybe November, December 2006. I haven't done a Mike Watt tour, well, U.S. one in 5.5 years because Stooges. Well, 5 years. It was in the spring of 2004. But also, okay, so you're learning music in Germany.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I learned about a different kind of music in Britain.
That's because you got a trippy accent. It does sound England, but it's a little different.
It mutates like the now music, you know, it always changes.
I guess it's more embarrassing to call someone from Australia. It's hard for me to get that sometimes. But, I respect it.
And when I was in Vegas, I had lots of offers from people to marry them because of my British accent.
Yeah,
it's not British, but
German,
thank you.
German, England. Well, it does have England in it, but it's a mix. Yeah. That's all right. Nature detests inbreeding. That's only for ethnic cleansing, thinking, fuck it.
So how long have you been living in England?
11 years.
Oh, so you're a lot, 20 or something, you came over.
Yes.
So during your teen years, back to your music, did you make bands?
Yes, I've played in a girl band. Yes,
a girl,
only girls, apart from we had one gentleman for the quota. Normally you have a women's quota, you know, in politics and stuff, and then we had a man's
quota. A girl
quota.
Band. Oh.
Yes, a rock, we played kind of rock, pop rock, rock music.
Yeah. What, in high school?
Yes. Okay. When I was 16 to when I was 20.
And that's your first... But you were writing songs since you were little.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I didn't write songs till punk. We could with copy records. That's what 70s kind of thinking was. I wrote one song as a teenager. It was called Mr. Bass King of Outer Space.
That's cool.
It was... I've talked about on the show before. I was dealing with the obvious inferiority complex. There used to be big hierarchy in the rock music, and the bass and the drums was way down. Yeah, so the song was about doing some big bass solo and up the stage.
That's cooler than my song when I was, I think, 4 or something. My dad recorded it. It was about calling different animals on the telephone.
abstract. I like that.
Yeah,
it's Should maybe re-record it.
Not making such unfortunate personality so obvious like my song. But then I was 21, I started writing songs. Because these cats in Hollywood, they didn't even know how to play and they were writing. So I was like, fuck. Andy Boone were like, wow, we could do this too. So it was a big deal for us. My mom, but the younger people, it seems after punk, it's normal now to start writing songs right away. You know? Different than my days. Or more young days. God, nobody did.
Really?
No one. No one I knew I grew up with playing. We didn't. We tried to copy Creedence, T-Rex, you know, whoever was easy enough to figure out. It was also a difficult time because Prague music and that. It was like, wow, too many notes here. Some of it. And keyboards, like you're talking these Those things were so expensive, we didn't know anybody who played them.
I didn't own one, I just played the local one at the college.
Well, no, but the music stuff now is so much cheaper.
Yeah?
So much. Oh, wow, you would not believe it.
But now we think the US is cheaper, some certain things. I was trying to buy here, although I was always out of luck in the shops, but we buy them here because England is so expensive.
More expensive, but it used to be even more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got like a Fender or a Gibson. Mm. Oh, my God. Overseas, in Germany, too. I would see them in the music stores. Big bucks. But here, too, in the 70s.
Mm.
So we played pawn shop guitars, you know, $10, $15 things from Japan. Terrible action, very difficult to play. But it helped make us strong.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't even know a bass had bigger strings. Didn't know what a bass was first few years. Because arena rock, you were so far away, you know. Things are a lot different. So
I play really cheap copies of basses.
You get some classic stuff out of those relics, though.
Yeah, and you got to start somewhere.
Mm.
I think music's just a little more accessible. I hear people with nostalgia, you know, oh, the good old days, and, you know, everything is so lame now. It was really better in the old days, and, you know, 60s, 70s. And actually, 60s might have been interesting. There was club scenes and stuff, but talking to people from those days, a lot of things were very difficult. People were uptight. I mean, hair was an issue.
Mm.
You know? Can you imagine that? You know, how long your hair was a fucking big deal. Kind of was that way at first with punk, too. Then it was for being too short. Humans are magical, wonderful organisms. They get bizarre kinds of things. But the technology got way more economical. You can record things now that you could not do in the older days. You can reach people with the internet and connections.
Yes.
Some ways it's so much better. And younger and younger people are just more and more aware. I mean, we were stupid fucks. We didn't know what fuzz tones were. We didn't know how most of those sounds on the records were made. No idea. You know, it was a huge mystery, all of it. So, I guess that
adds to the
fun. Maybe you have to find out for yourself. And I don't know. We all get to the now. The name of the band. No, different paths. But the name of the new album.
Oodipoom.
Yeah, you should spell it for people.
Okay, I spell it. It's OOODIPOOOMN.
Yeah,
how did that come about?
I think because our name, you can't really Google it. You get every site in English. We try to come up with really messed up album titles.
Oh,
because
the word now is...
Yes. So, Justin usually tries out different letter combinations. And we all in a band like words with lots of O's. Like this one tea that they sell in Little Tokyo, is it oolong or something? You know, these kind of words we like, so you just try to cram
oolong
as many O's
tea.
In it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, now has an O.
Hmm.
So,
I think O is
I'm jumping
letter.
Around here, but you had a band as a teenager. Did you make recordings?
Yes, but only we were never on any.
You don't have
any.
You should have brought.
I have. Oh God, it could have been really embarrassing. But
you don't know what embarrassing. We didn't know you were supposed to tune with each other. It must have sounded god awful.
I should have brought my first song.
What?
The one with the animal. Yeah, but yeah, I've got it on tape in London. I can digitize it.
So, did you make a band after that, before going to England? Why did you go to England?
And I've always felt drawn to England.
You want to live there right
yes,
away?
Yes, okay. Yeah. And I just waited for the right thing to come up with. And after school, I just did like a one-year job training because I really wanted to be a musician.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, maybe with a band I can just, you know, keep on making music and I'll work on the side. But it didn't really work out, and then I went over to study design, and so because, you know, when you're a musician and you had at school, you had to decide between music and art, and because I didn't have an art background, I couldn't get into design school in Germany, so I went into Britain and because I did stuff in my free time, they would accept it, and then I came over and stayed. And I felt instantly at home, but I already felt at home when I was on the school exchange when I was 14. And this little kind of northern town called Scunthorpe, and everybody didn't like it, but I loved it. I felt like I'd arrived, you know. It's like,
yeah, cool. Well, maybe you could appreciate what they could see. Sometimes it works that way. That's interesting. So I just played with my friend.
Yeah, you know, it's the way to do it.
You know, everything's got a place. I know plenty of people learn music in school, and I like their music. So everybody comes from different places. I just was not. After that experience, I didn't even try it again. I didn't even try a class. We're at the end of the first hour, April 4th, 2009, edition Watt from Pedro Show, Hold Tight Power 2. April 4th, 2009. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. foot, spill his seed upon the ground. And this was wicked in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord put Onan to death.
picture I've had it in camper. In that gift that fell. And say I'm a pig, you keep ignoring. The shape of others been killed. And what becomes racially popular. And I've no doubt to love. Sing the stars back to bed. Running on back. Cause life's been kicked down in the second. A thousand planes to last the most. Over the first place I've been. The fountain fathers go. A flagship is down in the second. And this house is still familiar as. A thousand people in the name. And what else did I say? We'll be right back.
Watt from Pedro Show. Started the second hour off with something new from Nels Klein. And his, I guess it's a solo album. It's not Nels Klein singer. Although he just recorded one of those. I got to play with him Monday and his bass player Devin Hoff. We were talking about the Mountain Bar. And anyway, this is from his Nels Klein record. He did this just before, or was it just after I did the Black Gang album? And it's called Coward, and there's a piece on there. It's called the Onan Suite. And it's got like six or seven parts, and I think that was part five. You know about Onan? Oh, yeah, Sid's here.
Hey, Sid.
Sid Straws, welcome aboard. So Bob Stiers. Actually, now you have a company. I think
Angela,
he's coming too.
There's no need to be alone.
But she got all the attention. Now she has to share.
I won't take that much.
Okay, you know about Onan, though, huh? So that's Seedcaster, if you know about Onan, then you know that. And then we had Hawkins Revenge doing a song called Onan, and they explained the Bible character.
We are on a biblical tear today, Mike.
I know. And then, hey, Market Orphan with Flag Song. They're from Vermont. You know about Vermont, right, Sid?
I know some stuff. I live there. I vote there.
And then we heard Bardhoff with Refusenik. Now, Bardhoff is the father of Devin Hoff, Nels Klein's string bass player. And it was interesting. I got a phone call once. I think it was a Saturday. And it's Bardhoff. It's Devin's mom and pop want to meet me. Want to come to Pedro and to have chow with
me.
Wow.
So who doesn't?
So went there. I mean, their son is great. Devin is a beautiful guy. He was doing a lot of arcos. He was sawing on this bass. But he had Carla's little amp, Carla Bozovich's tiny amp. So he's pretty much of a mime thing. Hey, Henry. And it was quite, it was a wild gig, though. I was glad. And it was good to meet them. I was kind of nervous. Whenever I meet people, I know parents, it's kind of scary.
Did they like you, Mike?
Well, we'd have to ask them. They seemed
well, what was
very
your impression?
Nice. I liked them very much.
I bet they liked
you. I should have asked them, do you like me?
Do you like me so far? How's it going so far, would you say?
Do you like me? Am I like, turning you off? Is this am I appropriate?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is this proper?
I think that's the funniest thing
vote?
I've ever heard you say is Mike Watt asking, am I appropriate? That's so beautiful. That's almost like a poem. That's almost like somebody handing you a frosty to cut.
Hey, I'll tell you about a poem. Here's the thing about
Cheers.
A poem. I got a message from the people putting out this literary magazine from, you know, the early 70s that does beat stuff, and they put one of my poems in their thing. Yeah, I didn't even solicit them. I don't really solicit.
You're not solicitous.
I'm not solicitous. I'm salacious.
You're salacious.
Salacious.
But not solicitous.
Looking for solace. Salacious. Salacious, that's it. Okay, Bob. Bartender Bob.
Barbatol
Bob. I meant Barbatol Bob.
Well, who is Barbatol Bob, pray tell?
He's a cat who, 75-year-old artist man, and new, sorry for the pause, but Neil Cassidy, Allen Ginsberg.
Is he from San Francisco or something?
Well, he lived there a lot of years. He's actually originally from Wichita. He came to one of my gigs last month, and interesting cat. Very, very nice man, and friend of Charlie Plimel's. Part of these beat.
Don't spill your beer on your drawing, Bob.
I thought it was Barbazog.
Part of these beat scene. Beat, not beatniks.
Beatniks are smelly, dirty people.
Wait, we gotta get him on mic.
Like, really don't worry, he's on there.
He's on there?
Don't be.
I'm sorry. I touched it. Mike, no. I'm sorry. I touched it.
Beatnik is a pull.
It wasn't accidental, beatnik no. I touched it.
No, it's something that I think you buy the clothes at the store or something.
I'm so fucked.
Don't be Gillis. Mayor G. Crest.
Yeah, right. It was the guy who became Gillian.
Yeah, Bob Denver.
Yeah,
Bob
Denver. Robert Denver, thank you.
So he's the kind of guy that's not a punk, he just shops at, you know.
Hot Topic. But a beat was like beat, like yeah. Beat down.
Yeah.
Not snapping fingers.
He earned it.
Right.
Well, they were into music. They dug boppers. And they ate boppers.
And Benny's boppers.
No. Both Barbara Tall Bob and Charlie told me about Neil chewing inhalers, Benzedrine inhalers.
Like Elroy?
Yeah, he did it too. And
big time.
Bob Sir.
Chewing the inhalers? Is that the new twist?
No, this is 40, 50 years ago. They don't
make old school.
But the notion of going ahead and talk to
Look, you know. Angela's in a band called Now, and she's been speaking about her journey in music. So I'd like to return to that. But it's interesting you people dropped over. So.
Noun. Your band is Noun?
No, N-O-W.
Oh, Now, not Noun. The future is Noun.
We heard your song last week.
That's an interesting
Yeah, idea. I played a lot of...
Your song
lot.
Was on last week.
What did we play? Highway Code.
Yeah.
Told you, gave me two from the new album. We played Ethnic Snack today. And so you came over, you joined the band in 2004, you moved from the analog synth to the bass. Do you mainly play the bass now? Now you're saying that people have to play the instrument they wrote
part of the song. It's usually what you have to set. But,
when he's putting together the song, he shows you guys the song and y'all start thinking about what should...
Others is like a few songs where I could theoretically play three different instruments, but I can't play them at the same time.
Right.
So yeah. I have to decide on one and distribute whatever fits best.
The magic of overdubbing, multi-tracking. But for the gig, you have to division of labor.
Do you play bass live mostly in your shows?
Yeah, about at least usually around 50%.
Half.
Yeah, and the others then divided between synth and glockenspiel and percussion and singing.
You brought a glockenspielist on the show, Mike. This is great.
Was this part of the can?
I take it seriously, the glockenspiel.
Yeah. They related to
now,
can.
Now it's got some sounds like were you in the band when they played with Demo Suzuki?
It's the first time I met them, but I joined the gig after.
Okay. That must have been wild. I've seen him a couple times. And he just goes for it with his voice, and the band follows. He just did it with a friend of mine over there in Brighton named Sam. He's playing with a friend of his, and this guy don't tour with a band. He just meets people in the town,
mm-hmm.
and then he just uses his voice. So they jammed to his voice. He has no fear.
That sounds wild.
I think he lives in Cologne. Cologne.
Yes, yeah. I think so.
Originally from
Japan. So he does it to take a chance as opposed to Chuck Berry showing up to be cheap with his guitar.
Well, I think it's pretty econo to tour without a band, too.
But Chuck Berry, you know, the guy just stick the 25 grand
in here.
Yeah. Remember that.
Disrespect to Chuck Berry.
Wow, I adore Chuck Berry.
You got kicked out of Chuck Berry?
No, Demo Suzuki.
Out of the gig?
No, not the gig, the venue. They had really nasty security people. And
yeah, the gig.
Yeah, and the women's restrooms were flooded, so I went to the men's, they didn't object, but the security people kicked me out for going to the men's restroom.
Yeah.
So it wasn't.
They wanted you to swim in the toilet.
I'm glad they could tell anyway.
So you never got to see him play then?
I got some part of it.
Part of it.
Yeah.
Well, didn't Now release it as a record?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a heartbreaking story of club abuse.
There's all kinds of that shit like that.
I thought it was quite hilarious.
That's just animal necessity.
People with authority complexes.
Wait, there was a lady that was arrested for breastfeeding in the New York Public Library. They arrested her for breastfeeding. She went off into a quiet little room. She was feeding her child, and they arrested her. What? You know what I'm saying? We're all wrong. We're just so terribly, terribly wrong. I know, it's my turn to be an asshole. Oh, yeah.
That's
all.
How many records have you done with now?
Oh, God. I think, apart from the demo one, all of them, so it's four.
Four?
Yeah.
Four. And now this guy, what's Udi Puri?
Udipoom. Oh, honey, say that again.
So, when was this done? Is this recent?
Udipoom, me
when this is coming up next.
No, when was it done?
When was it done? In the last few months, but some of the songs are really old, so we mix old and new songs together.
Yeah.
A backlog of we could produce like just dozens of albums.
So some of these were recorded a while ago.
Yes. Okay. Like 10 years or something.
10 years ago. Damn.
Dozens. So it's that's a lot pre- of stuff that are written but not
so
released. Yeah.
Yeah.
You picked the name because it's got a lot of O's, but is there a theme around it?
Somebody who
here.
Just
watch putting stuff.
That was loud. Sorry.
Well, I guess somebody who sang with us once said our albums are more like a smorgasbord of stuff. But we had one review of the new album, like from the promos, and he said that compared to our other albums, he was accusing us of being more commercial with it. But I don't.
This is your merch record.
So it's the last one was more poppy, and this one is more. I don't know.
So that's kind of a theme.
No.
There was no conscious. That's what I'm talking about more. Like, no, was there a conscious idea of
maybe?
Like, I mean, my really overt, this next record I'm going to make is an opera. But the last one I made was about autumn. You know, something like this, like concept or something.
We call it our hit album.
Are there new people in this record that wasn't on the last record?
In the last week, it was a happy debut. It's good about Justin, Richard, and I are the same people.
Only three people.
Yeah, but
so all the new people.
We've got friends who support us, so there's a few that were on all the albums.
Because what I'm saying is the new people who've joined probably give it a new theme.
Yes, but the new people who are in the current lineup, they're only on one song called The Yellow Tent.
They're only on one song, wow.
Yeah, because that was a live jam, and we just put it on the album.
Yeah.
So who was in the core of the band that remains, or?
Justin, obviously.
He's a boss. He's I did an interview with him on the phone maybe a year ago. Mm-hmm. If you go to an old Watt from Pedro show, you can hear it.
So is it like the fall where you have Marky Smith, and somehow, though, it all sounds like the fall, no matter who he has on.
No, like their band changes with different people.
Yeah, different
of course,
sounds.
Well, the people bring different sounds. He has a songwriting style that's kind of consistent.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think. But he plays with different personas that he doesn't play with. He incorporates it into the sound of the band. So they bring their thing. Because he's given me now all from the beginning, mm-hmm. even his first demos, and there's a consistency to it, but then it also evolves to the members. Mm. Yeah. So this new team, the one you're doing gigs with now,
yes.
they're not really represented on this record, only but through one jam. Mm,
yeah. No, but we're playing the songs from the
yeah, a lot, but I mean, if somebody was to listen to Udi Poom. Udi Poom.
Udi Poom.
Yes.
Udi Poom.
But it ends with the N.
Yeah, just use that one because it looked better.
That's hard English to do a O O O M N.
And then upside down, it's wood. Let's see.
Yeah, it's trippy.
Wood poo.
Wood poo. Really?
Don't read too much into it.
He's trying to distract us from learning about it.
I like that. Because we had one record which had like a bit of
that could be the next album.
Did you study music?
No.
Study by playing? Study on the job?
Well, I'm part self-taught and part from music school. So
we were already talking to her about
history. Yeah, I play the instruments. I play now. I didn't learn. So apart from synthesizer.
Both.
But what drew you to the Glockenspiel?
It was in the room. Anything that I can get my hands on, I will play.
Ah.
Well, everybody in the band is a bit like that, so, you know.
Yeah.
If we ever can find or get, because it's quite difficult to sometimes get music instruments because they're expensive. And so we use anything, and I sometimes build some. I build half a drum kit.
Wow.
We like it. The guys just got hard, I swear. Like, she built a kit.
No, that's not really primitive. It works, though.
Yeah, I can just do bass. I can do a little guitar, but not much.
So live performances?
That's how Sam is, too. You know, that band, they all play different things. And they run around on stage and change. And I feel very...
As a goof, it's okay.
Kind of. No, they do good at it. Just some people are, you know, there's different ways of music. Yeah, some people are more crotchety and frozen in one gig, like me. I don't have enough confidence to try other.
You're just curious how certain things sound and the kind of sounds they make.
I'm curious about other sounds, but I'd like to hear them operate. I don't know how good I am on this.
You just called yourself crotchety and frozen, Watt.
He's got good self-knowledge.
Crotchety and frozen.
What I'm saying is I'm not adventurous enough to try other instruments.
I'll be there when you do branch out.
I'm adventurous checking out your instrument, though. You are not shy about checking that thing out. You take that instrument in all kinds of different directions.
Yeah, I do. I try to. And then, in fact, part of my thing isn't so crotchety. It's on purpose. I stay on the bass. Because there's so much to learn about it. I'm afraid if I go and try other instruments, I'm going to dilute the mission. I won't even move to 5-string, because there's so much to learn on the 4-string.
Do you use pedals?
I tried it on the second opera. It's too difficult. Bass, I don't lend itself that well to those things.
But your sound is evolving. You know, it's interesting to hear these old things like...
Yeah, it's righteous.
The first Firehose show, and the Minutemen, and to see how... The continual growth and having all these different projects really
put the bass in different places. That's how I do it. I put the bass in different places instead of different instruments. But it's good that everybody goes on different journeys with music. Music is big enough to tolerate all kinds of ways to exist in it. I don't think there's one way. I don't think everybody should do the Watt, you know, stick to the bass. kind of thing. So, I have a lot of admiration for people who have nerve to try other instruments and to try them in the same gig, even.
Angela, did you bring a Glockenspiel today? I think we need to get Watt on Glock.
Where's that range?
That'd be a first.
That would be.
Well, we're going to get to hear Brother Matt, right? Brother Matt now is going to
cool. Let's see what plays comes out of this.
Spin cycle.
Cool.
Thank you very much, Brother Matt, for another installment.
Cool. Thank you.
Spin Cycle.
Thank
you. What was your motivation?
Well, my motivation today was I had no clue. And so I just didn't want to fuck up.
You wanted to be appropriate.
Yeah.
Appropriate spin cycle. So it was maintenance.
Yeah.
A maintenance shift.
Wing it.
Well, very good job.
Thank you.
We're at the end of the second hour, April 4th, 2009. Watt for Pedro Show, Tariff Hour 3. April 4th, 2009. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. And you were saying, Angela?
I was saying... Oh, no, no. It's just about some music, and it's quite a lot of music that...
Sure.
You and I've got some comics tapes, no.
What do you have there? You were going to reach in for some Latin music or something?
Yeah, I've got lots of Latin music, and but it's just all over the place. Anything from kind of goth to...
Highly appropriate.
Rock and roll, and Grace Jones, lots of...
What do you call them, karmics?
Like, I normally have mixed tapes, but I've got a more posh car, so I took some CDs just in.
So they're mixed CDs?
Yeah, it's not, it doesn't feel
oh,
right.
Oh, you made them for your trip?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Those are the best.
Yeah, they're kind of like personality...
autobiography.
What do you say, displayers?
Personality displayers.
Right? In the old days when you traded them cassettes mixed, they could tell what kind of person... Right. Wow, they're wave.
It's like a dating thing.
Huh?
It's like a dating device, you know. And you
a mixtape?
Yeah, you can exchange it when it doesn't.
If you're compatible.
I like it. I gotta...
Hold
on, Bob. He's got some.
I was just curious, because there is this culture of mixtapes that people give to each other as a form of dating? Or what is that? It's like...
No.
To see if you're compatible. Because most people, most
not
murders between spouses is over music.
Is it?
It's not over mine.
That would happen in your case.
There's no murder.
No, because I have to now be careful about making music for people, because I'd be pretty random about that, and then people seem to think that's something like very personal.
If you put this song on a tape, it means I will have sex with you.
Yeah. Something like that. It's like,
you have to watch what you put on those mixtapes.
4 hours of Rush is going to drive anybody up. Maybe my old friend clean it.
And a long version of Fool in the City.
It's my job to educate. I'm sorry.
I used to forget about
it. What? You were just saying that you don't want to make it.
Yes.
And then
for
no?
people anymore. I don't understand.
Well, it's not like anymore.
I thought to educate.
I thought that.
You have fear? Not appropriate?
That's what I thought I was doing. I was like, oh, I'm sharing all these things I found, you know?
But you're actually being belligerent and putting them through hell.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they need to be showed some new things, and they would come back to me. And
so says ye. Because they don't think this. They don't share
this. They come back
opinion.
I'm like, which part of the song should I be listening especially to? You know, like is there a message in this? You know,
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Sorry?
I once awfully confused someone, and I don't really listen. Not until recently, I just didn't pay attention to lyrics, because, you know, they were just like some byproduct. And then I gave someone a tape, and it was all love songs, and I wasn't aware. It wasn't, you know, I just wanted to show them, oh, it's a great song. And then a person was being like, ugh. I was like, oh, how did you like the music? And I just didn't realize it
like
was
love song.
It was really embarrassing. I just later realized. And then
I don't think.
And now you're married to them.
Seem to be love songs.
No, it's pretty normal, as I thought.
Were they thematic? Oh, I used to make these things that were like sort of the current story of my life, and made pretty much live by grabbing the records, and I'd purge it out of me, but the music was pretty good, and I'd give it to a friend and move on with it, and then 15 years later they'd play it and take me back. Whoa, that's pretty personal. I don't think anyone else might connect all the dots, because it wasn't made for anyone else.
My life as told by the Bee Gees.
Yeah.
I think the Bee Bee Gees said it best for me when they said, "Ooh, you're a holiday."
But I mean, I personally don't really listen to the lyrics not that much.
Yeah.
Because I just hear the song.
Well, you're better than me.
Yeah, in many ways. That's one of them.
Hey, this is getting good. I'm going to go put on my referee togs.
That's like the girl who sings in this band here. She doesn't sing with words because she thinks that the words in the song detract from the music. So she just is singing. Yeah, it's really
kind of
beautiful. But she thinks, like, oh, baby, baby.
That's what Damo does
in that direction.
That's what Damo Suzuki does. There's not a lot of words.
Yeah.
He's just making sounds.
I'm pretty partial to words and to sounds, and people can do what they want with them, really.
Yeah. The thing is, the lyrics are really bad. It can sometimes put you off a good song.
Like Rush?
You're the one that keeps pushing Rush onto us.
Yeah, you like
there's Rush peer pressure going on in this studio today.
No,
I feel a deep need to listen to Rush
in
now.
The studio.
I win.
See, this
win.
Is the this is the love grotto at the pleasure point. This is not the studio.
I think there's also theme music. Like you have sort of for certain situations, like you have driving music. There's sort of distinct, you know, type of music that goes with driving and. You know.
So like Grace Jones' Demolition Man. That's different than hearing The Policeman.
Or Demolition
One
Ship.
Tin Soldier.
I think
love that song.
Grace Jones makes it her own.
What about...
Don't be putting down Billy Jack, Watt. Don't be putting down Billy Jack.
Like Highway Star or...
It's a great one. I love Highway Star.
Radar Love.
Everybody plays in the car.
Someone said that would be the
Love Will Tear Us Apart.
It's really like American.
Just get to
Boston or something.
Probably.
Let's have one conversation for
Radar Love, you brought up. That one gets you in a rhythm. I like it to makes me want to drive the car fast. But someone said that was a perfect song before Walkmans were made. My friend had this really expensive thing. And. Dave mentioned that was a perfect thing to ski by, you know.
Radar Love.
The idea of getting into a physical rhythm.
Like that bass line? No, it's boom,
boom. Oh, I know, I hear
the great bass line.
The Bee Gees, Staying Alive, is the perfect rhythm for CPR. No,
is that right?
Yeah, because they have to know to count the count.
Yeah.
So they taught that in CPR school. If you can't like think of counting properly,
like prayer
think
beads.
Of think of that song. Like,
are you a nurse?
Hell no. I just heard this on the radio.
I just was picturing you in a cute little nurse's outfit, and it was fun for me.
That's not appropriate.
It was fun. You should consider nursing.
That's what Halloween's
for. Oh.
I did it for
a while. Did you?
Oh, no.
Angela was a nurse.
I'm not that caring.
So, but you didn't get the outfit, thankfully.
I used to wear what I worked in a pot and pan. Nice. Boy in the kitchen of a hospital for 5 years. I wore white.
Whoa.
I bet it accentuated your tan nicely.
Well, there was a bunch of chow before I had down the shitter, right? So it was a lot of free chow.
But didn't you have like three jobs or something at that time?
No, paper hat.
Didn't you have like three or four jobs at that time and never slept?
It was late 70s.
Can I supersize the order?
God, having Watt ask you to supersize, now there's something to think about.
No, I was in the kitchen. And
the
menus would come down, a dietitian would give us the menus and we'd fill out the trays. But
they should have put you on the mic.
I didn't do much of that. I was the guy who would scrub the pots and pans and the dishes when they came back.
Well, didn't you work at Jack in the Box or Deep Blue?
I did that, too. That was a paper.
That
would
have been fun to watch. I would love to have you.
Let's see, I made $1.20 an hour as pot and pan boy, $1.65 an hour.
You and Alex Chilton.
Jack in the Box?
Alex Chilton was a famous dishwasher.
I didn't do much dishes. There were pots and pans.
Okay, I'm glad you can delineate between the two.
There's big difference.
It's more macho to do pots and pans.
Dishes rode on a machine. And you'd put them into the trays and stuff, and the pot and pan you had to manhandle and put them in this machine.
What happened the day you decided
more,
to get out of there?
Muscle to get the cooked on macaroni and cheese.
The chopping was the most. carving.
My pop worked in the kitchen as a chef and stuff in the Navy out on the Pacific, you know. Everyone would be hurling and he's making breakfast.
Golly. Yeah. So let's play some music.
A ship came in, but it was empty.
A ship came in,
and then it sailed back out to sea again. Now there's a sail on the horizon.
Now there's a sail,
and now I wait until your ship comes in. And I'll be waiting in the port of lonely hearts, watching for your topsail on the sea, praying that my ship of love will come to the port of lonely hearts where I will be.
I'll brave the storm
until you're with me.
I'll brave the storm,
'cause wind and rain can't change a love that's true.
I'll be alone
until you anchor.
I'll be alone,
and then I'll leave this lonely port with you. Till then I'm waiting in the port of lonely hearts, watching for your topsail on the sea, praying that my ship of love will come to the port of lonely hearts where I will.
Thank you.
other day, there was, I guess a Monday or something, there was some big police deal. Somebody's shot and killed on 11th Street or 19th Street or something.
Oh, is
like
that right?
The cops were doing something all afternoon. And then they finally busted the guy. Rufus Ashley, you know him? I know him. He's a killer.
Whoa.
So he went through your program and...
No, no, no. I knew him from school days. But his nephew was in my program.
Ah, it's in the family.
Okay, let me... We started the third hour off here with Johnny Cash doing Port of Lonely Hearts. Then we heard Man Flu with Tori. Man Flu's from England. But the drummer guy's from New York City, Willie. So he sent me that. And Tori means bird. So,
what, in British?
In British.
God, no.
Sorry.
Big bird is like a woman slang word, right?
Yeah.
And then some from Tokyo, a band called Nick Fit. I think Nick Fit was a Minor Threat song.
Sonny Youth had a song.
Yeah, but that's where they did it first.
It's all on my mix.
And a song called Mary, and then something from Germany, a band called Sunder with Klubi Kova. Trippy. I think it's just drum, bass, and singing.
You probably mispronounced it.
T-S-U-N-D-E-R. Sunder.
It's not a German
it's
word.
It's not,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
That T-S-U sounds like Asia sound. Alex Solis. This is my favorite jock. Jockeys are incredible. Brave
wait,
little man.
Wait, go on.
That was in today's paper. I didn't even...
Much respect. He's my favorite jock.
This is sad.
Bob goes with me and Raymond to track sometimes, and I ain't a big gambler. $2 bet most I ever spent, but I just like...
Empire, yeah.
Beautiful horses.
Jockeys are incredible. Right.
I won with Alex last week. I was
this backwards. I know. I have you on my...
Hey, we're doing the show here, Sid.
I thought we were on a break.
Not appropriate.
I won money on horse race once 10 years ago. And I'll keep it.
Ecosun, first bet ever.
Yeah, that's what I did. And
I think maybe the name of the horse or something. I don't know what. What you?
I look at their asses.
She looked at the horse.
Yeah.
I think she
takes a dump right before they go in the gate.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, of course. Or go into the gate. If they'll get in the gate. If they're limping.
I go and bribe the jockeys.
Oh, that's not appropriate. Not proper.
She's rolling with these things.
I'm basking in inappropriateness.
Awesome.
Usually it's my niche here.
I have inappropriate
taglines.
What do
you think of that? Somebody stepping on your turf?
Yeah. Oh.
No, I don't have a voice today, so it's nice to have someone
pick up the slack.
Ego.
Did you call me your altered ego?
Yeah, that's what the show needs.
But yeah, that's what the show needs.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Edge, when I met the Edge...
Oh, here we go. No, look, why are you in town?
Mick Jagger told me never to name drop.
Yeah, you're going
to
live
there. I saw that. Come back here and live. That's the Edge.
Hey, let's calm down.
That was your line.
She's been doing music for a long time. Do you know of her music? Angela?
I was in a little group called Led Zeppelin. We did okay.
She's lying. But she's done music a long time. She's come back to live, right? But you're leaving again?
I'm just going to go and take care of my horse and patch up the holes in my roof in Vermont, and then I'm going to come right back.
She was... I'll talk about your music thing.
Okay. Oh!
Golden Palominos.
Yes, you're not supposed to name drop. Didn't Mick Jagger tell Mike Watt that?
No, I was talking about the horses that I saw.
I'm not asking you to explain your music thing.
Well, it's a deep passion that I seem to have been born with. My mother used to encourage me to shut the heck up when I was in the crib. She'd go, look, save it till you can make some money with that voice. Save it, little girl. And I just kept saving it. And I guess I'm still saving.
No, you played in some bands and did some records. Yeah, that's what.
That's for sure. Google me, children. Google me. Ooh, thank you.
Pat's on the top of the head. Nice patronizing.
You haven't said your name for people to Google.
Oh, my name. Mike Watt. They call me Michelina Watt. No, Sid Straw. Yours truly. I've been in a lot of bands. I play with a lot of great people. I'm going to go sing next week with Linda Ronstadt. And, I mean, that's kind of a mind-blowing thing. If you were me growing up in Southern California, with her voice on the radio and her beautiful album covers covering Larry Pagler's Walls. After school, I would go over to Larry's house and we would sit around and listen to the pop muses of the day. And I recently had a lucky opportunity to tell this to Linda. I said, you know, it's all your fault, Linda. It's all your fault. She said, what did I do? I said, well, you seem to be having so much fun when I was just, you know, trying to grow up, and you were so beautiful, and you played all these lovely songs, and you seemed to sleep with all the cool guys, and wow, I was like, I want to do that. So I said, my whole career and the lack of it, it's all on your shoulders, Linda. And then she invited me over to her house to sing, so I'm going to try to go do that next week. And that, for me, is almost as cool as being here on your show today, Watt.
That was bitching.
It's almost that cool.
Wow, and I take this show for granted. I show up in the third hour.
We thought that was just to keep things cool and good looking, you know.
Well, I do that too.
Yeah.
Well, I'm at it. Other than being inconsiderate about other people's time.
What? Are you a dancer?
No.
It was just a guess.
Well, you can do the rope, but, you know.
Oh.
George, not hurting me.
That was a good audio rope-a-dope. Somehow without the actions, it's kind of hard to explain the rope-a-dope move. I'll talk about music, Mike. I'll tell you this about music. I am having more fun the more and more obsolete I become due to the ravages of time. The more obsolete I become, the more fun I am having and the better time I'm having every single day.
Do you think that... That's because you stop being self-conscious?
That's a great way to put it. And I think the lack... I'm never not self-conscious. Even when I'm sleeping and I'm alone, I'm embarrassed.
Right.
And I sometimes will wake up in the middle of the night and go, thank God I'm alone.
I know the feeling.
You do? Yeah. That's really surprising. But I think that it's more...
You don't know, Pete.
Oh, no, I don't. But it seems that you might. But I don't know why it is. I think it's sort of like a fuck you to gravity also too, because gravity's my buddy, but gravity's in charge. Every time I move to a new address, gravity seems to find out my new address and meets me there. So I don't know, but I taking the music at once more seriously and less seriously. Doing both of those things simultaneously has improved my approach to my job. I always had a good time. I know how to have fun. That's almost all I know. And
that's a lot more than most people. I mean,
well, I don't know.
People dream to have fun someday.
Wow.
While they're doing all this, you know, dutiful stuff.
Well,
that they would have fun.
I don't know. We could all be having more fun no matter what our job or circumstances are. I mean, look at some people that are starving and in the dirt, and the kids are smiling. It's so weird to me that I want so much, and we're horrible, hideous, spoiled creatures that live in abundance, and some of the kids that have nothing are laughing in the dirt, and I think about those kids, and I want to be laughing in the dirt with them.
Well, yeah, reduce your knowledge and desires. And ambition, you'll be happy easy.
Oh, really? But see, I don't know, because I don't have that much ambition. I can't reduce it. I don't even have that much. I have tons of desire and no wish to reduce it.
Like dreams? You know,
dreams, no. No, I can't cut down on the dreaming. That would mean I'd have to be getting sleep at some point in order to dream, perchance to dream. But I dream of sleep often.
What about daydream?
I'm a big daydreamer. I'm daydreaming that this is all happening right now. This isn't real, right? Pinch me. Angela, pinch me, you German nutcase. Ow, ow, that was so hard. Angela, let go. Oh, she's a punk. I'm going to be bruised something to remember you by. But I don't know, Mike, when you play, are you having fun these days? I mean, do you have fun? Or what would you call it when you play?
Yeah, in some ways it's a trip. It's pretty scary, a lot. Embarrassing. But sometimes I feel like I'm young, more young, and with you guys, and that's all exists, is you and your guys trying to get something together. And kind of a Peter Pan trip a little bit, and I get excited about that. But it's a hard thing for me. I don't know if I was natural with music, so it's hard. I have to try very hard at it. So it's kind of a little bit of work.
You know what? That is a funny thing that you try hard, because some people say Richard Thompson, for instance, when he's playing guitar, he just plays the impossible. He plays the impossible, but he stands there in such a laconic, simple way, and he's doing all these impossible things that people that don't know how to do that have no idea how impossible what he's actually doing is, and he makes it look easy. Whereas I like about you, one of the dozens of things I like about you, Watt, is that you don't really make it look easy. You know, you make it look hard, and it is hard, and what you're doing is impossible. And there you are doing it. I love to see you do it every chance I get, because the way you torture a bass is hilarious to me. I swear you should get an endorsement from Gumby or something. You should have a Gumby pokey Watt bass made out of rubber, because it just looks, and you know what I'm talking about out there, the way the bass looks like it's actually shape-shifting, and there are special expensive effects, and it's just you doing whatever that is, that thing you do.
Is not drugs you're taking?
No, I'm in no way high.
That's a poor inappropriate peace joke.
I have them.
In a way, you set yourself up for that joke.
Why?
She did.
Okay.
And I could see you laying out the wet welcome mat with that baby.
Oh.
I'm very self-conscious. What I have to do is kind of put my you know what a dervish is?
Yes.
Right, they get spinning. And
oh, before they whirl, what do they do?
No, take acid and go to a Grateful Dead show.
No. It's kind of a spiritual thing. It was a Sufi trip, and it's called an ecstatic state. Like, you don't... Probably like kids do with the merry-go-rounds, right? They want to get dizzy, or they spin around.
Yeah, you get that rush.
And that way I'm not so aware of what I'm doing, so I can get the nerve up to do it.
Yeah.
So I don't, but I am trying to focus too. That's why I say it's hard for me. But I've done it a long time, so some things are automatic. They just kick in because if I've done it a long time, which I'm kind of afraid of, because I think music's too precious to be doing automatic. But there are things. I still think of a kid on a skateboard, you know, and like he could fall down. I want to put that part in it. So, because that's the danger of playing a long time. You end up just doing the same thing over and over again.
Isn't that true with life? You should avoid, want to be systematic about living. You need to interject some challenge in it.
Well, that's what music.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you could run around on the freeway. There's some challenge there.
But there's a difference between playing by numbers or an involuntary sort of.
Well, this is my take on it. I'm not
because
saying every musician.
I've seen a lot of shows.
Sid was just talking about Mr. Thompson standing there, iconic, mm-hmm. or late conic.
Laconic and iconic. Okay. Lay iconic.
Okay. So, and I'm too self-conscious. When I do that, I feel really... I've done it before because I've gotten terrified, and it gets into the performance. Mm-hmm. I'm terrible. I'm afraid. Insecure.
Sometimes theater sounds really good, though, depending on what you're trying to play when you're
afraid. I think your body doesn't know. It's all fear or excitement. It's still registering the same thing. The word you pick is the story in your head.
You can psych yourself out and play. You can. You have to be careful. You also have to, you know, I don't do a lot of gigs by myself. I'm in an ensemble, so you have to join together with your guys, you know. You have to, right? Like with now, it's not one.
But don't you think you're glad
you're
not
fear? I had a huge stage fright. Oh, you do? Until last year, I had really big stage fright, and especially with...
I can understand.
So you just play with try to face the guys rather than the audience.
Fear is the only true emotion.
But if you're not afraid, then you're flat. I used to have to do these performances.
But you're afraid you're wrong about that?
I was just trying to come up with that. I'm afraid you're wrong, Pink.
Another thing with performing where... If you aren't fearful, then you're flat. I mean...
No, everybody's got their own angle.
You know, it's like John Lennon puked before every Beatles gig because if he didn't, then he wasn't fired up. It's not necessarily something to aspire to, but we all have our own things before we go on. And embracing that, and then once you get going, it seems like...
You know what, and also I'll tell you this about gigs. You never know how they're going to work out. Everything might be set up for it to be a great gig, and it ends up... sucking shit through soda straws. And some gigs might be set up for be like, this is going to be the lamest fucking thing ever. And then you're surprised it turns out to be... There's a lot of... For me, you know, I can't tell how they're going to go. I just hope for the best. I do think about the gig goer. Because they've been working all week. They put their money up. You can't be just strutting on their shit. Taking them for granted. So I want to work good for them. I want to work good for the people I'm sharing the stage with. You owe them. If they're going to come up there and potentially, you know, get lathered with your fucking lameness.
You know, they're responsible entertainer.
Lathered with lameness.
My cousin went last week. She's never heard any of your music. And the club had...
See, like that gig, we're talking about Dana Point last week.
There were challenges.
The south part of Orange County, Atoy, PA.
Yeah.
Really, I thought it was going to be, it was a setup for a lame gig. It turned out to be okay. I was very glad I did it. That's why I don't try to second guess myself so much. Music, performing it for people, ain't all about you in a lot of ways. People you play with, people have come. And it turned out to be... Yeah, it was kind of a mind blow. You could tell their scene was kind of...
People weren't appreciating it, and they weren't aware of any sound things that are on a subliminal level to most people. It's like your gig at the Wiltern with the Stooges. I would have no idea without reading your diary about what's going through your head when...
Well, yeah, on the
really
stage, stage, that can be a thing, but you're not supposed to think of that because you're getting in for free. Sometimes it can be an impediment about playing with each other well, but that's where you have to reach deep down and like overcome those. Because people paid money, and they should get the good sound. They should get the best performance out of you. So you can't get too. This is just my opinion. Get too precious about it.
Then again, everybody, every single person, go to a show for their own personal reason.
Yeah, of course.
They might know.
I don't pretend to know what those are, but I just want to still.
But
I put myself in their place, you know.
Well, you know
like
that.
I've been a gig goer a lot, so I'm thinking of them like that. Hmm. And I would want to have my mind blown.
And if you do the best you can for what you do, I think that's pretty fair. Yeah.
Well, they always know that you're trying. That first gig in Pasadena where you guys haven't played in 7 months. And, you know, we're joking about clam bake and all this.
Yeah.
And these two guys, about 30, were just sort of like, you know, Dean Moriarty, you know. Going on
Sal
about,
Paradise.
And Sal Paradise. I'm going on about how that's the best bass playing I've ever heard in my life. So it could have been a bad night, maybe you might have thought, but to them, they were inspired.
I said that about letting go, Bob. I don't try to control the whole thing, but I do try to get it together. Sid asked me.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to respond.
I like the way your answers wander about the neighborhood.
The one you went to at the Redwood, I thought we did okay.
That was nice. I needed that. I found it very galvanizing to stand about
you were there
8 feet from
oh,
you.
Oh, well, shoot. When I'm here, I just met Grant Hart, who I admired his music.
Yeah, Grant Hart was it.
And I'm looking back to see what his reaction is.
Who's he?
And it just so happened, he's looking right at me like, oh, buddy, like, yeah, dude, this is happening. Every time I look back, he's like, you know, right in sync. It was happening.
And you know what? I'm really worried about those kind of gigs where I do big spiels before. I had to do the interview for the Raymond documentary. Because I think I have a lot of times bad gigs after those because it talk about yourself all getting self-important. And yeah, it's really very tough to do a good gig after that. So a lot about this work is kind of out of, I don't know if it's a culture thing or whatever, but the musicians are thought of such great, I don't even know musicians, you know, whatever, entertainers, are like better than other people and shit. I mean, bullshit. It's just another job.
Oh, no, you're much better than
other
people.
Well, that's the way you bring it down to earth in a way that's what impresses people. You know, Raymond was telling me, God, Mike has people come to him all the time. Because he does his work in public, you know, I do mine a lot in the studio, and he's all marveling at how, you know, how wonderfully you not only handle it, but show the humility that inspires people to want to not just check your music out, but maybe you don't have to yell stack your own band. Trust me, they want to do that after your show. It's amazing to see.
I think that's a debt to the punk scene. They let me and D Boom play the gigs, Georgie. So you know, I try to.
It's your signature. You can't stop.
No, but it kind of. I didn't make it up. It came from those days. They let us play. We didn't have to just be in the bedroom doing the Creedence.
I think a lot of musicians are like, some people make it easy to play technical stuff. I think in your whole world, if I may. Is that you make it easy, even though it's really hard work, to keep touring and cranking out all this music the way you do. It's like one after another, you're in collaboration with different projects. It seems easy, but that's a lot of hard work. The people might not know how much time it takes and history of you doing it to make those things go smoothly, just to show up on time and, you know, make things happen. I think that's kind of your attribute, I think.
Oh, well.
I think that was a compliment, Watt. Oh, that was a compliment. That was lovely.
Hear it from me.
You know, Pete, that's interesting. Watt was telling me about playing South by Southwest, I don't know what's happened, a year or two ago, and seeing a show with Bob Mould. And so I checked out Bob's site the next day, and he put something in there. It was great running into Mike Watt, the hardest working man in the music business. That's quite a compliment from a guy that knows him from back at SST days.
It is. All music, people who do it for a long time, it is hard work, but everybody have their own little unique niches of something put together to make them unique. And, you know, Mike definitely had a reputation to just be out there, be accessible, and being true, and being just always give it all. And that will be the end of complimenting our...
I think there's more compliment in you.
No,
it's going to leak out.
Yeah.
You're leaking.
No,
you're
sorry.
You're leaking.
I hate Oscar everything. I'm going back to that.
What would Oscar Wilde say?
What about the most sincere form of flattery, which, of course, there is no such thing. You know the story.
That's true. I was just astonished by all this sweetness coming out of you. I thought you were some tough babe, you know.
I'm sorry, at the end of the beard, I'm changing.
She does MMA.
She does what?
MMA.
MMA. Oh, MMA. I thought that was a new designer drug. I didn't know what I thought it was.
It's like...
Sorry. I haven't tried that yet. Is there any around? I'm just kidding.
Boxing mixed with...
They vaporized the
D. Ah. Boxing mixed
karate
with karate?
Whatever.
What does the
anything
MMA
goes.
Stand for?
Anything goes.
What does it stand for?
Mixed martial arts?
Oh, mixed martial arts. Oh. It's not Mario Machado arts. It's mixed martial arts. Angela's like, martial. You people, I have no clue. I lost the thread minutes ago.
But I'm also, you know, double as his bodyguard when I go on tour with him.
How fun.
Peek's going to go on the first 5 gigs. You're going on a couch surfing thing to New Orleans, right?
Jazz Fest.
Right, Jazz yes. Fest.
Are you playing at Jazz Fest?
No, I'm on tour, but she wants a lift on the way.
Yeah. Nice.
And she's a photographer.
Finally, revealing.
That's appropriate.
She's a dancing photographer.
No, she ain't a dancer.
So what does our guest here think?
Nor do I swim.
Any commentary? What do you think of all this?
Of all this.
That's a loaded question. To be or not to be?
Do you think about life?
Like the combination of music and martial arts. No, in the previous conversation made me think about how many people we've lost, you know, the lineup changes. People who underestimated how much work music is. Because oh, it's great to play in a band and then you have to carry gear, be on time, go for sound check, wait 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've lost a lot of people who...
That's why I was saying about this, the concept that people's perception of people in this work, it's screwed up.
Yeah, you go up...
See, because what I do, these things they were talking about, you know... Getting in situations, recording and making records, playing gigs, playing, learning from other people doing music. That's what you do.
And you have to negotiate.
How about I've had people, why are you carrying your own gear? I mean, kids.
Yeah.
Because they think this is all just some way to service lifestyle and be like royalty. And to me, it's just normal. It's not really a great above and beyonder.
Well, they don't see that if you hire someone to carry your stuff for you, that's an extra motel room you have to pay for every night. And they don't see the practicality that we hide.
The reward isn't in getting to do the expression. The reward isn't having people waiting on you. And
that's what I like. Your motivation is very good.
I like the idea of making music to express yourself. It's interesting.
And look, it's fun. You know, on stage you feel the bass and you've got all this... stuff that you can't really have anywhere else, this kind of song.
Yeah, there is. And just being with your guys and you're trying to build this song and perform it. You're trying to bring it to the people. There's something about that.
And you don't know what
that's not about, like, oh, this person knows me, or I caught at this expensive hotel, and you know, these things, what the fuck does this have to do with music? So many people bought my record, so many people. All these things. You know?
The only thing that's changed with Mike is he has more people making demands on him, maybe, but his approach, I don't see any different than what I saw in 1983. It's the same. It's a good business model. Bob Mould said that the voting precinct for the presidential election is Obama basically used that sort of SST, very efficient way of, you know, street organizing.
Grassroots.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, our scene was small. You had to do that.
Yeah.
You know, if you could holler, attend me, flatterer, you know.
Tag the flyers up.
And there wasn't... People hated punk, about 9 out of 10. So, I remember, though, you know, the scene up in Hollywood. I've said this before, but I think only the Dills had a van. I mean, these guys weren't even thinking of touring. And I don't know what they were thinking. So, but everybody's, you know, music is... Like John Coltrane said, it's a big reservoir. A lot of people come to it. They come from different places. They come to it with different reasons. I'm just, my opinion is, everybody's got something to teach me. Why not check it out?
I'm just out to make a buck. I consider it's my get rich slowly scheme. I'm not in a big rush to make more than
$10. Yeah, I have a plan to make a lot of money after I died.
That's the other thing about it too.
You know, Herman Green, seeing him the way he just went along with the Econo, and I could see you being, you know, 50 years, you know, it's changed. Yeah. I mean, the guy, amazing. To him, it's the music, and it's more important that nobody polishes his horn and makes him change something like that than the money or anything else.
Mike, maybe you're sort of like the Bill Veeck of music. you're sort of you have a vicissitudinal quality of entrepreneurial skill and bringing the people together for what I don't want to get sanctimonious, but what I think is more generous reasons than we often find in the professional musical realm these days. Like I what you said, to cycle back to something you said that was significant, I think you tossed it off, but it was significant to me, and that is that when you said, now I just got muddled in my own sticky brain, Zach.
Well, that was a master of promotion, but one thing Watt's doing now that makes...
He brings a community together, yeah. A musical community, which is my main emphasis.
Well, I was from a movement. I mean, the whole reason I'm in music was because...
But what you got going now, I read some marketing piece on how you do things, and I don't have any idea who it was about, but they've been playing these shows recently. And I love it the way they finish. And they got things zipped up and gone, and the people really want more. And so that's a way of building a groundswell of curiosity about this new record and all.
Well, you always leave them wanting more.
It's been more...
It's 53 miles away, man. It's time to get back to Pedro.
You guys are zipping it up fast every time.
Yeah, it is. I do.
No encore.
Dude, I only stay up late when I play.
Yeah.
I wake up at 4 in the morning. This is a good thing of middle age. You have to look forward to. It's hard to sleep.
Wait, I'm waking up at 4 in the morning.
Are you?
I'm like that.
Old lady?
Yeah. You go to bed at 4
in the morning. Yeah. That was when I was way young. Or more young.
I like to be awake all the time when possible. I hate to miss anything.
You're talking about how you like...
Sleep
and sleep
dream.
Really,
we can sleep
when
we die.
You don't think we're really listening to you.
When we die, we'll sleep.
Speaking of the duality of man's nature,
what Whitman say it? Contradict myself, so I contradict myself. I contain multitudes.
You know what's funny is his neighbors didn't like him.
It's on Brooklyn Bridge.
His neighbors didn't even like him. So with all of his peaceful certitude, I wonder what was going on. I wonder who he didn't invite to his little parties.
Camden?
Yeah. The neighbors were not so pleased with him.
Lived with his brother.
And
he lived right by the train track. I went to the house last summer.
You did?
Uh-huh. He liked the train. You know, that... What's going to happen to my... You guys are saying nice things now, but when I die...
Okay. Do you want us to say what we're going to practice to say?
I motherfucker had to live next to that asshole.
Yeah, I have unreleased the unseen photos of Mike.
Yeah. This is why I'm earnest about creating works. Let them speak for themselves and let the people rumors. You know, Mr. Whitman, they were talking about him on the radio yesterday.
They said his neighbors didn't like him much.
Sid Straw said that, and we're on the record with that. But it was on Bookworm, the government radio, and I learned something interesting. Vincent Van Gogh, Starry Night, yep. He wrote to his brother.
Theo.
He was inspired by a song of myself.
Ah.
So maybe you don't have to be a neighbor. Maybe art inspires art.
I think it does.
And humans might have personality quirks and stuff that we can transcend that stuff.
I can't see the
Orson
Welles
said, I have an unfortunate personality.
A little touch of evil.
No, he said that off camera.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, I feel and very comforted with that evil.
Yeah, which is a good example. Charlton Heston.
Yeah.
Great job he did, man.
It's
a Latin cop. Yeah. And maybe personality-wise, right? So some people in their performing thing, it's weird about the art world, but I guess we kind of need it. It's kind of a fabric to tolerate. Elvin Jones played a gig 2 weeks before he died at 75, I think.
Elvin Jones? I thought he died in 90.
His age?
Oh. I remember you sending me that. Wow, that's amazing.
So, Angela, how long do you see yourself doing music?
I don't know. I can't imagine not doing it because I've always done it.
Always.
Like, breathing kind
of. Like Elvin Jones. See it?
I got no plan to make other plans.
Like Rimbaud wrote poetry for 2 years. At 19, he stopped. He never wrote another poem.
That's
it's beautiful stuff, but
dean of American business in terms of being a Zen sort of Peter Drucker was still lecturing at Claremont Colleges at 94 years old.
Yeah.
And still very vital and lively and out there.
So would both of you say music is your calling?
I would. Angela only nodded. I think she has ambivalence.
Okay, I think some people would say music and eating and cooking, but
yeah. She cooks and eats.
But some of the people in the Now band, they just quit the band or they quit music. Some of the people that have been in Now.
I am so jealous of people who actually make decisions like that.
I guess the band, but they kind of dip. Some dip
they
in
still
and
do
out,
music.
Some do.
Some of them just didn't quit all of music. Sometimes that happens.
The XTC guy, the bass player, he decided to never even listen to music again.
Rashid Ali's son, Amin, quit bass. That's what Calvin Weston told me. That guy was a motherfucker of bass player. Great. But the humans
There's
are
some
different.
Baseball players that do that too, the greatest pitchers and
well, maybe, I can only guess it's because they feel like their highest point of success is come and gone. If they keep doing it, they feel like they only
gonna
soil
it.
Fail and soil that.
Yeah, the legacy.
I'm just guessing.
And what if we have no legacy to soil? She said rather forlornly.
Refused to record a new song.
Everybody's got their own way.
I think that's
one Bob spiel.
In that case, I feel like fear has got the best of them. A lot of people who quit anything.
There's a John Cale song, Fear is a Man's
Fear is a Man's Best Friend. I love that.
Or Worst Enemy.
Good bass line on that.
Either way. But, it's like sometimes with the music and art, it's like at a certain point it became, you became public property. It's you sharing your soul with everybody else. And I guess, that's a lot of responsibility to, carry.
Well, why don't you share that lighter so I can light?
Share the responsibility of the lighter.
Anyway, it's been very interesting. But we're at the end of the show.
No, you're kidding. We're out of time?
Yeah, well, this is what happened when you show up late.
But I was going to start complimenting you now, Mike, and say really good, nice things.
Thank you very much for coming aboard. I hope your first U.S. experience.
We like Angela. Can we all come stay with you in Germany?
Well, I don't know.
In London.
I'm listening.
Can we stay in London then?
Sid, thank you very much for coming aboard.
Great to see you.
And Pete, thank you for coming. Bob, thanks for hauling Sid down. Brother Matt, of course, for your always essential aiding and abetting. It's been the April 4th, 2009 Watt from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.